Well, good morning, church. Come on in and grab a seat. Time for church to start. Today is one big family Sunday. So we love that we are a multi-generational church. We love that we got the littlest ones all the way up to, well, those that are still young at heart. But we're glad you're here this morning. So on one big family, the kids are with us for service. Now, if you have a pre-K age and under child, there is child care for them in Kids Church, and they are doing Kids Church for them today, so you can check them in right now if you haven't done that. And for those younger ones that are up for the entire service after worship, you can come on up here. Miss Kelly's got some bags for them for during the service. But in one big family, the students help us with scriptures and praying over offering and different things like that, because we believe it's important that our kids are not always segmented in Kids Church from us, but they spend time with us. So you as parents and us as an adult congregation can be an example to them in worship and the word and fellowship and all the different things that we do together as a church. So today, one big family, I'm glad you're here. So let's everybody stand up on your feet today. High five your neighbor. Tell them it's good to see him this morning. Let's worship Jesus together.
Speaks it. Hallelujah. believe that every chain will fall, God. You are so, so good. Just encourage you to lift your voices and lift your hands to the one who deserves our worship this morning. Hallelujah.
The life you gave, your body was broken, your love poured out, you bled and you died for me there on the cross, you breathed your last as you were crucified, you gave it all. What a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Hallelujah, King forever. We thank you for the cross. Darkness, a lifeless lay, frame of the Father, Son in agony. He watched his only Son be sacrificed, and he gave it all. What a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Hallelujah, King forever. We thank you for the cross.
Hallelujah, it is done.
want to greet some of your family of faith this morning. We are so excited to have you here with us.
Well, good morning, everybody. At this time, we're going to prepare our tithe and our offering. So if you have something to give today, you may do so. Also, in the chairs in front of you, besides the offering envelopes, are prayer cards. So if you have a prayer need, we'd love to pray with you over these things. Pray over them at Monday night prayer, but also I will pray for them in my personal time. And having said that, don't forget, every Monday night we have church-wide prayer from 6 to 7 p.m., so we hope that you can come out and join us for that. The third Mondays of the month, by the way, they do provide child care, but it's not just child care, but they have the kids downstairs and they teach them about prayer. So for those of you that don't come to Monday night prayer because you got kids, I encourage you to bring them anyways, but also just know that that third Monday of the month, they provide something for the kids during church-wide prayer. That's every Monday from 6 to 7 p.m., all right? So you're aware of that. So as we give today, we know that God is always, everybody say always.
Always.
God is always our provider. There's no question there that God and the things that he does always is out in front of us in ways, in provision. So notice God makes the earth and puts everything in it before he puts man there. Why? Provision. God didn't make man and put him here, then well, how am I going to make it? How am I going to survive? What do I have to live? Well, God puts it in front. And he continually does that after creation. Amen? So having said that, as we are in one big family, we have somebody praying over our offering today. So Sawyer, where are you at? You can come on down. Everybody say, hi, Sawyer. So Sawyer has our prayer for offering today. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. There you go. Everybody, if you would bow your heads.
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for always providing us for us, even when we didn't deserve it. Thank you for being with us today, and I pray over the message right now. Help it touch all of us and help us use it in our daily walk with you, Father. I thank you for the day and the kids that have volunteered to come up here and spread your word to all these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you for praying over your offering. If you have something, you can bring it down this morning. And as they're doing that, you can get your Bibles out. But I do have a couple quick announcements for you. Don't forget that this coming Saturday is our men's breakfast, 9 a.m. right here. To sign up in the back. Our subject is the book of Philemon. So if you want to kind of prep beforehand and read that book, it's a small, short book in towards the end of the New Testament. Go ahead and check that out. Then coming Saturday, men's breakfast right here, 9 a.m. Sign up. Also then, a week from today, next Sunday night at 6 p.m. for 5th to 12th grade is our youth hangout. So, and by the way, for that, it is Hot Wings Sunday. So we're ordering a few hundred hot wings in for the kids. It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a message. Pastor Tim from the Botkin Church is coming, and we will have a good time. Eat a bunch of wings. How many like hot wings? Okay. I have a literal bone to pick with everybody about this. Are you ready? This isn't just my opinion. This is fact. There is no such thing as a boneless wing. You go to B-Dubs and get boneless wings. That's not a chicken wing. How many know what I'm talking about? It's false advertising. There's no such, it's just, you might as well go to McDonald's and get chicken nuggets, all right? A boneless wing actually has a bone in it. It's not real. I've never seen a chicken wing without a bone in it. How many know what I'm talking about? How many agree with me? If you don't, you're just wrong. And they're not as good, by the way. Now, that's my opinion. They're not as good. So there will be no, quote, unquote, boneless chicken wings at Hot Wings Sunday next Sunday. There will all be real chicken wings. Yeah. So anyways, that's next Sunday, 5th to 12th grade. We're going to have a good time. Make sure they're out for that. Bring their friends. And certainly then, April is Easter month. We have on the 18th our Good Friday service at 7 p.m. In the past, we've done stations here at the church. We're going to go away from that this year. So it's actually a service time at 7 p.m. There's just going to be a bit of a production, some worship, a time of reflection, a time for communion. So plan to be with us for Good Friday. Then certainly Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we'll celebrate together the resurrection of our Savior. Amen? All right, get your Bibles. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll be in verse 10 in just a moment. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. We are, I think week 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. We're going to be here for a while yet. We got out of the Beatitudes a couple weeks ago, and we're actually into the wider portion of the sermon, the longest portion of teaching uninterrupted of Jesus that we have in the Scriptures. And it has been called the inaugural address of the kingdom of God. If you want to know what the kingdom of God is like, start with the Beatitudes. And if there's anything in the Beatitudes or the rest of the Sermon on the Mount that pushes back against any preconceived ideas you have at Christianity, I would encourage you to change your preconceived ideas and assumptions. Okay? We started really a series, a bigger overall series, with this unvarnished Jesus, where we want to get to the ground level, rubber meets the road, of who Jesus did, what he did, and what he said. And I think we often focus on trying to do the things that he did. Amen. Yes. We also have to pay attention to things that he said and learn what it means to work these out in our lives as we follow him. Because at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, remember, Jesus said to do what he said, which is wisdom. You're building your house on the rock. But to do the things that he didn't say or don't incorporate the things that he said into your life or live a life knowing that he's saying, hey, let's go this way and you go this way, it's foolishness. You're building your house on the sand. And that house on the rock in which we've been called to build our lives starts with the Sermon on the Mount. This is the context of building your house on the rock. So the challenge, by the way, the encouragement, I should say, is to take at least one day a week throughout the series and read the Sermon on the Mount during your scripture reading time, Matthew chapter 5 through 7. I hope you're doing that. Because when we take bits and portions each week and break it down, I want you to keep the bigger picture context together of this incredible sermon. Jesus, being a teacher, gifted, amazing, not in his role as a prophet and priest. He's a teacher. He's a rabbi. He is the one who is to build our lives. To hear what he says, and even the things that we look at and say, look, that may not be easy. As a matter of fact, that's flat out hard. Okay. The help of the Holy Spirit in your life, that he can take you to a place of you are becoming something that he intends you to be. So anything you come up in the Sermon on the Mount, you're looking at, say, that's kind of hard to apply that and live that. Okay, that's okay. He sent you the helper, the counselor, the one who leads you in all truth, the Holy Spirit, to help you in these things. In other words, the things that God has called you to do are not impossible for you. Amen? You believe that? Yeah, okay. So what we did is we got out of the Beatitudes and we skipped the passage that we were going to come back to today and went on. But let's get back to the passage we skipped because we saved it for one big family, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10. And I have Josiah reading it. Now, Josiah is hobbling around on his crutches. So I'm going to take the microphone to him, okay? Live stream, you might lose me for just a second, but we'll be back in the picture. So everybody, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, he's going to read down through verse 16.
Blessed are those who persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and be trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven.
All right, thank you. Good job. Good job, Josiah. All right, so notice Jesus comes out of the Beatitudes. It's possible that you may be persecuted for righteousness' sake, for the name of Jesus. Amen? And he rolls right into, okay, you may be persecuted for living for Jesus in this world. He rolls right into, then you are the salt of the earth. And you are the light of the world. So salt and light, you hear this a lot when it comes to this passage. Salt and light. Let's talk about these things. Let's talk about salt. Salt is a preserver. But back in the older days, I think you would say this, before there was refrigeration, before they had different means of taking food distances to keep it cool and keep it cold, they often would take meat, put a bunch of salt on it, dry it out, and take it with them. Almost like ongoing beef jerky, all right? Travelers, explorers always had salted meat with them. The salt would preserve the meat so the meat would last longer than it would have if it was not salted and dried. So salt is a preserver. It keeps things lasting longer. See, Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. Now, again, coming out of, you may be persecuted, but blessed if you are. Your reward is great. But what does it mean to live in this world for him? First way is that you are the preservation of the kingdom of God in this world right now. See, our call is to bring the kingdom of God to this world as it is in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray that way. We are to be salt of this earth, to be bearers of the gospel. And we preserve the kingdom of God in this world. Now listen, while we wait for Jesus to come back, have you noticed that Jesus seems to be taking his time? It doesn't seem like he's in a rush. It's been 2,000 some odd years since the resurrection, right? Which we're going to celebrate Easter coming in April. 2,000 years, at least in our thinking, is a very long time. Can I tell you something? Jesus is not concerned about getting you out of here. Wait, the world's just a nasty place. Okay. He's not concerned with getting you out of here. Man, you wouldn't believe all the sin in this world. Yeah, it's here. He's not in a hurry to escape you out. See, salvation, everybody listen to me. Salvation is not like this golden ticket to get the train ride to heaven. Because if he was in a hurry to get you out of here, he'd have got you out of here. He'd have came back already. Or maybe salvation would have been the moment I get saved, then you just go automatically. So you don't have to bear in this sinful world any longer. No. He's not in a hurry to get you out of here. Why? In part, we're going to get into this a little more. In part, because we are the salt, the preservation of the kingdom of God in this world until he decides to return in the Father's timing. Listen to me. You are here for a reason, to be salt. We are the foothold, if you will, of the kingdom of God in this lost and dying world. And our prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, we'll see this later in the Sermon on the Mount. Our Father who is in the heavens, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done where? On earth as it is where? In heaven. Why are we still here? We are part of the answer to the prayer that we are to pray. Lord, why haven't you come back yet? All the sin. This world needs judged. Okay. The world's going to be judged. Don't worry about it. It's not your job anyways. Don't worry about it. Your job is to be salt. The preservation of the work of the kingdom of God in this world. Right here, right now. When we gather for church on a Sunday morning, and our parking lot gets full, we're overflowing into the funeral home next door, and somebody drives by this, and our windows are open, they can see light coming out. In a certain way, we are a testimony that there's still people who believe. So we gather together. It's a witness that the kingdom of God is right here, and it's active, it's real, it's alive, it's moving. That's salt. But then, as we'll get into it, the rest of that passage as Josiah read, it's not just about coming together as a church, but then what's happening when we're not here. So salt is a preserver. Salt is that we are the kingdom established in this world. Now, as we're going to see, well, salt is directly connected to our good deeds. We'll talk about that in a little bit. In other words, that we are here as fulfillment of 2 Corinthians, that we are now the ministers of reconciliation. That's the work of the gospel. Your job, let's just say this. Your job is not just to survive. And I know sometimes you feel like that. I'm just surviving. Okay, I get it. There's days like that. Your job is not just to persevere in yourself. It is. You need to persevere in your faith in this world. But your job goes bigger than this. It's not just about being here and trying to hold on till he gets back. But it is about being salt and then light in our world. Now, But what if salt loses its taste? What if it loses its saltiness? In other words, that we begin to lose the distinct way of the kingdom of God. We lose the subversiveness of the kingdom. In other words, we claim a faith, but we don't live our faith. We claim a faith, but we ignore the Beatitudes. We claim our faith, but we don't live out the Sermon on the Mount. We claim a faith, but our faith is not at the forefront of our life. We lose the subversiveness of the kingdom. So, in other words, salt in this world being a preserver is doing simply the things that Jesus said to do. In other words, our life must match our confession. Now, in your salvation, you confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Savior. You confess, you ask for the forgiveness of your sins. There's repentance happening in your life. How many of you at one time confessed Jesus as Lord? Let me see. Okay. Do the deeds of your life match your confession? Is the way that you are living and approaching life, does it match the fact that you say, yes, I am a Christian? Yes, Jesus has forgiven me. Yes, I'm going to heaven someday. But does the life you live now match those statements? That's being salt. My life is a part of this preservation of the kingdom of God in this world until he comes again. Amen? Now, he goes on to say then that you are a light of the world. Let's reread that part. Verse 14, Matthew 5, verse 14. You are light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, Isaiah chapter 9, one of the great prophets' prophecies about the coming of Jesus. Isaiah 9, 2 says, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. That light is Jesus. Amen. As a matter of fact, there's some passages in the Gospel of John. Where's Layla at? Layla's going to come read to us a couple passages in the Gospel of John concerning Jesus being the light. Yeah, come on, Layla. Everybody say hi, Layla.
Hi.
Are you, you using your own Bible? Yeah? Okay. And we're going to be in, I'm going to give you the two. John chapter 1, verse 9. Then we're going to go to John chapter 8, verse 12. So John chapter 1 and verse 9, we'll wait for it to get up on the screen for us, okay? There we go. Are you ready?
That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world.
Okay, now, you know who that's talking about? That's talking about Jesus. Now notice, go back, yeah, the true light, listen to me. There's a lot of different lights that you can follow. There's only one true light. Is that right? And the Bible says, John chapter 1, the true light which gives light to everyone is coming into the world. That's Christmas, right? Jesus comes, incarnation. But then later, Jesus says something about himself concerning this. John chapter 8 and verse 12. We'll wait till the screens catch up to us. Are you ready? Almost. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Just waiting for the guy back there. That's your brother. Oh, he got it. He got it. He was probably making you wait on purpose, wasn't he? You don't know. Anyway, John 8, 12. Go ahead.
Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in the darkness, but have the light of life.
Amen. Thank you, Layla. Good job. Now, Jesus said to them, I am the light of the world. The light that shines in the darkness. The light that has come for everyone. Now, Jesus said, this is one of the great I am statements of self-revelation of Jesus. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except by him. Amen. We believe. See, in the Bible, There's a lot of usage of light and darkness. Big symbolism here. Light and darkness. How many of you have ever been in the dark and got lost? Anybody? Yeah, it's happened to me a couple times. It's an unsettling feeling to be lost in the dark. Have you ever woken up for some reason in your house and you're sort of discombobulated or not sure where you're at in your own house? Ever happened to you? Yeah, a couple. Yeah, all I saw was some of the older folks just raise their hand. All right, yes, it happens. It happens, you know. And I know somebody, people that were in our youth group and they now have their own kid. Their kid's a teenager. Just not long ago, that this girl woke up in the night, went to go find her way downstairs and missed the step and just went boom, 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 all the way down the stairs. It looked like she got hit by a Mack truck, man. You should have seen her head. It was crazy. Being in the dark can cause you some troubles if you're not careful. Well, same way inwardly and in the world. The world is living in darkness. Why? Sin. The enemy actually blinds people from the true light of the gospel. That's part of his work. See, darkness, in a way, is symbolic of our separation from God. We, as a human race, are lost. And we need a light. And Jesus comes as the light. Now watch. Not only to bring the forgiveness of sins. Now listen to me. Not only to bring the forgiveness of sins, but show us the way to the Father that's in the forgiveness of sins, but also, listen, a light in how to live in this dark world. It's a way of being. How I live is reflective of darkness or light. It's not just about forgiveness, but it is about the way that we live. So when Jesus said something like, blessed are the peacemakers, or blessed are the meek, or blessed are the pure in heart, or blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, what he's saying is, this is the right way to live. This is light. I'm trying to guide your way, is what he's saying. See, again, we can confess our faith, but still live in darkness with our actions. You can say, I've been forgiven, but then turn around and still live in ways outside of the light of life. And what he then says, and what's amazing to me is he says, I am the light of the world, but then he turns it back on his followers. You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. That's a pretty amazing thing to me. That Jesus claims something in self-revelation, but then prior to even him saying that, he already had turned it back on those who follow him. When he's saying, when you truly grab hold of this, you will understand that you are the light of the world. This is fully fulfilled in its context when Jesus ascends. And who does he leave here? Us. Who does he leave here? The salt, the preservation of the kingdom of God in this world. And coupled with being that preservation, he's saying, now you are the light in this world. He says, a city on a hill, it's kind of like in the nighttime, if a traveler was going somewhere and they're trying to find their way and all they got is maybe the moon and the stars and it's sort of dark and off in the distance they see a city that's lit up. It's elevated on a hill. My bearings go right there. That city is a light in the darkness and a place of refuge to go to. Your faith in this world is to be like a city on a hill. Matter of fact, he goes on to say, and in no way is it something you're supposed to hide. No closet Christianity. He said, you don't light a light and put something over it and hide it. The reason the light is there is to give light to everyone who's in the house, in the room. See, again, your job is not just to survive. Your job is to be salt and light. Now, what's interesting is how Jesus then talks about the culmination of this, what it means to be salt and light. Sawyer, if you will, slide, please. Now, I understand, you have to click out of the verse there. There we go. I understand this is a very oversimplified statement. Notice the little salt and light. Isn't that cool? Anyways, it's an oversimplified statement. But why are we still here? Why hasn't Jesus come back yet? So those that are in the darkness can see our good deeds. Think about that. One of the reasons that you are to be who you're supposed to be as you live in this world is so others can see your good, I like that word good there, good deeds. See, we are, as Jesus has ascended, he's the light of the world, that light has engulfed our life in such a way that we now are the representatives of the kingdom of God in this world. So I guess a side question, how good of a representative are you? That's a big question. Because you are doing deeds, you are doing things, whether or not you realize it, everybody does stuff. Are your deeds good in the manner of the kingdom of God? How good of a representative are you of the kingdom of God, of the light of Jesus in this world? Now, good deeds. Yes, we share our faith. We tell the stories of the gospel as it impacts our life. We share Jesus. But good deeds go hand in hand with what we say. And let me tell you something. If it was exposed that I'm abusive towards my wife, how many of you would discount everything I've ever said? Vast majority of you. Your deeds weigh heavy on your words. You can share your faith and tell people about Jesus and act in a different way from your confession, and your deeds cancel out what you said. That they may see your good deeds and glorify, praise your Father in heaven. Your good deeds may cause people to glorify God. Your good deeds may be indifferent to people. Your good deeds may bring persecution, which is right before the salt and light thing. That we are people who understand full-heartedly that what we do matters. How we talk, the things that we say to another, how we respond. You want to know the best test case of your character? How do you act when things don't go your way? That's the test case of your character. How you respond. The actions of your everyday life. Are you salt and light? Because we are here until he returns with the vocation that people may see our good deeds. Good deeds at some point mark out a difference. They show change. If the world is really dark and lost and sinful, good deeds will shine like a light, like a city on a hill. And it will be exposed for all to see who are around you. So we think about who we are in light of that you're supposed to be light. You're supposed to be salt. So, in a world that's full of hatred, as we were talking last week or a week before, name-calling, that we see good deeds of love, even when it's not deserved. In a world that holds unforgiveness and grudges, really hopes we get to pay back wrong for wrong, that there is instead salt and light, forgiveness, possible reconciliation. When a world is selfish, I just need to get my way, get mine, and I don't care about anybody else. Anybody have to get there by stepping on other people, I'm going to get there because I deserve mine. Selflessness, care, and compassion. You see, good deeds show up in contrasts. Show up in contrast. That when you are wronged by somebody, you're wronged by somebody, and they've always experienced getting back at, loss of relationship, knowing somebody has a grudge towards them. When they experience somebody saying, I forgive you, it's no big deal. Water under the bridge. We're going to keep on. I'm not going to hold anything over your head. I'm not going to bring this up 5 years from now. I'm going to forgive you. They're going to go, what in the world is that? I have not experienced that in my life. And there's a possibility in those moments that they may end up glorifying the Father in heaven because salt, preserver, and light touched their life. Good deeds. Action. Christianity is not trying to get out of here. Christianity is, how am I bringing the kingdom to here? Jesus will take you out when it's time. He'll take you out when it's time. I just got to get away from this sinful world. Be salt and be light. You don't have to go hide. Be salt and light. That's where it's needed. You know, I run across sometimes pastoring for as long as I have. I come across people, they all desire to work for the church so they can be out of secular society. No, we need more people there, not more people working for churches. Everybody I work with every day, I assume, they know Jesus. A couple of them, but anyways, most of them, they're good and saved. We don't need more people sitting in offices at churches. We need more people that are salt and light in the world, where we're called, that they may see our good deeds, amen? So what are we about? What are we after? See, God is calling us to be the kind of people that good deeds mark us simply because we follow Jesus and allow him to change us. Amen? That's salt and light. And if Jesus tarries for another 2,000 years, the church is going to be present. The church will never cease to be. You know why? Because the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Right? And the church, in its true form, even in places where not allowed to worship, it's against the law, you could be arrested. In its true form, their preservation of the kingdom of God and their light in their good deeds. Amen? And that's what we are. I believe. Therefore, I live with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Now, I want to do something to close out, two things to close out service today. Number one, Al's got something. I want everybody to take one of these, all right? If ushers can help Al out. You give me one of those when you come up here, if you would, please. I want everybody to take one of these. Let me have this. This is a church invite card, all right? I want everybody to take one of these. Now, inviting somebody to church is not sharing the gospel, unless they come here and they hear the gospel. Inviting somebody to church isn't necessarily a good deed, but at the same time, I'm giving this to you because I want you to do something with this. Give a few moments for these to get passed out. And I want to encourage you in something this morning. This little card says, you belong here. As a church, we're willing to do what's necessary to make room at the table for people to come to our church. There's seats open this morning. We got room in the back to grow. Amen. We got places to put more chairs. Here's what I want you to do. Again, this is not the same as sharing the gospel, nor is it necessarily a good deed. But I want you to take this home and pray. You don't have to use this, but take this home and pray about people that you know that you're pretty sure don't know Jesus, A, and B, they don't go to church somewhere. And I want you to pray about using this card to invite somebody to church. But see, kind of a backdoor way of saying if you invite them to church, then you're saying, I'm a Christian. I'm kind of, if you haven't to the people around you, I'm kind of outing you with this a little bit, all right? And maybe by giving this, it gives you an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody. Amen. And maybe it'll turn a light bulb on in their brain about some things that you do that aren't just like everybody else. And all of a sudden, they'll start to recognize good deeds is connected to faith. But I want you to pray over these cards and at some point give it to somebody and invite them to church and open the door to share Jesus with them. That's what these are for. Now, I know some people take them out and just randomly give them out. That's fine and dandy, but I want this to be purposeful with somebody you have a relationship or an acquaintance with. And it's really simple. This is when church meets. I'll meet you at the door. Believe it or not, they give free coffee. That's okay. I'll give you a coffee. You can sit with me. All right? My church is safe. We're not crazy people. We just believe in Jesus. We're going to sing songs together. We're going to pull the Bible out. There's stuff for the kids and youth and all that kind of stuff. But invite somebody to church prayerfully because Sawyer, there's a slide back there. It's on the very bottom. It's got yellow, white, it's black background. It says Church on Mission. Can you find that? It's at the very bottom of the slides there. I'm putting them on the spot. I didn't tell them about this before. See if you can find it. It says Church on Mission, okay? You see it down there? At the bottom, go all the way to the bottom. It's got like five lines. There you go. See, this is what we believe our church to be, that we are a church on mission. We're not just a church that gathers together and likes each other. You should. When we leave here, we want to strengthen the community, reach our community, then go out into the world. That's a church on mission. That is salt and light. Amen? That's my prayer for our church. Here's just a little, maybe, tool, avenue. Amen? So, let's be salt and light. Let's be on mission. Who can you impact this week in the name of Jesus? Amen? You know you can. Opportunities come. Don't shrink away from it. Opportunities come. You never know when the gifts of the Spirit will come. Opportunities come. It's just your words and your actions. Everybody can do that. Amen?
Amen.
All right, everybody stand up on your feet. We're going to close out today, second to the last thing. I want all the kids to come down. We're gonna log off live stream in just a minute here. But all the kids come down. We want to pray with you today before you go out. I always like to pray with our kids, one big family. So all kids, teens, come on down. Gather around down here. I want to pray with you for a moment. Y'all can just stay facing me.